All right, so here it is, February in Terre Haute. Thanks again for
having us. Already. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like February.
No, it doesn't. It's ranching closer to spring every day. We keep getting by.
I hope so. You know, I always like to start with just kind of your general take opinion on what's going on in the political world. And this past 2 weeks a lot have been going on, especially if you take a look at in D.C. with the executive order of Trump's on the immigration and travel ban and today's confirmation of Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos. What's your take on all of this?
Well, it's definitely a crazy time. When you're talking about current events or civics kind of discussions, boy, if I was a teacher, you'd have so much material, you wouldn't be able to cover it all. You know, I think it's healthy when we kind of mix things up a little bit. Sometimes we get a little stagnant. But then on the other hand, you have a lot of extreme, you know, thoughts or ideas or strategies that are going to come in, or at least seems extreme to the other side. No matter what side you're on, there's always going to be significant change. And so they see that as, wow, this is too much at once, when this happens every time there's a new president. There's always some part of this that's very similar. Sometimes, you know, maybe something's worse than something else. But I think we should expect it. It should just settle down soon, I hope, because we got to get down to the business of doing good stuff. And so whether you agree with the president or not, or the past president, or who might have been in there, at the end of the day, we all got to kind of accept the fact that we need to move forward. And so nothing wrong with speaking out about that and offering alternatives. But boy, it's a very tumultuous time, I would say.
Has there been any fallback or feedback from Terre Haute in regards to that immigration travel ban?
You know, not really. I mean, there were people that were obviously for it and other people that are opposed to it. You know, I think it could have been rolled out a little bit better. And I think they're kind of saying that now today, a little bit after the fact. But, you know, when you first get into office, you think about those things, but you've never experienced it before. So I'm not making excuses for anybody, but you got to think these things through when you implement them. And so I think it just caught people off guard a little bit, and then others just didn't know how to implement it. They didn't have any guidelines, and I think that's really important because you don't want people to be stuck.
Much debate on road funding from the State House. Democrats have a plan, doesn't come with tax increases, but it does halt some corporate tax cuts. I see House Bill 1002 has a gas tax hike, but a study on interstate tolling, and of course I thought of you with I-70 just right there through right next to your city, that would be a big for Terre Haute with that major interstate there. Is that something that you think will actually happen?
You know, I don't know, because I've heard a lot of support for it, but we haven't seen any real votes yet to see if it's gonna move along. I don't like the tolling thing. I've never been big on that, no matter where you go. Usually Chicago's where I run into it. I've run into it in Florida a little bit, but I don't like it. And I understand why they do it, but it's a pain. And I'm not a big supporter of that. The gas tax, you know, I know it affects everybody across the board, but it's based on your usage. And the more you use the highway, the more you should pay. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. And so we probably should have been raising the gas tax just a little bit all along, tiny little incremental amounts. Nobody would have even noticed it, and it would have funded what we're trying to do. Now we're trying to play catch up. So it's going to seem like a big increase. I get it, but we've got to have a sustainable revenue stream. And so the Democrats came out where they want to do some other things, but you're kind of giving up one thing to get something else. You got to have revenue to take care of the roads. We're not doing a good job on that.
Now, I know there was a public forum Monday night on the new jail, and from what I heard from that, many are concerned, of course, about the price of a new facility. Mm-hmm. In your mind, since we've talked about this in the last month or so, has anything changed on that front in terms of the city part of this? Because I know that this involves a lot of different entities.
Well, you know, about 65% plus of the people that go to the Vigo County Jail come from our terror police officers arresting them. So we're a big user of the jail. No, I'm just happy that the county's made the decision to locate it in the city of Terre Haute. So that takes away our issue with having to drive all the way to the industrial park. The cost is the cost. You know, I think that that's what it costs to build a new jail for the size that we need to meet the demand. And so, unfortunately, we're all going to have to pay for that. City, county, all of us are going to have to pitch in and make that happen. So it's kind of just good to get it addressed and get it behind us, because, you know, lawsuits are going to cost the county and all of us, the city too, a lot more money as taxpayers are going to have to pay a lot to pay out on those lawsuits if they don't fix the jail. So let's funnel that money into the jail project, get it built and get it open and utilize it and take this problem off the table. That's kind of my take. I'm fully supportive of what they're doing, and I say the sooner the better.
You know, this brought to mind, you. We talked maybe a year or so ago about a new police station in Terre Haute, and you were very adamant that it needed to be replaced, that it was beyond repair. Is that still on your agenda or
Absolutely.
Mine?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're kind of going, you know, we put some revenues in place. We're kind of going through the process to get our bonds through S&P to get our bond rating updated. We're looking to see if there's a public safety local option income tax increase in the lit here locally. That will give us a revenue source. So we're just kind of letting some of the dust settle here and get all of our ducks in a row so we can advance that project. We are going to build a new building. It's going to happen, definitely. But we're just trying to figure out the best funding source to do it with and the timing of that. My guess is we get construction started later this fall is the plan at this point.
Yeah, I also wanted to get an update on the casino, the possible casino. Mm-hmm. I know that you already spoke at the State House on this and was there for at least one hearing, correct? Uh-huh. How did that go in your mind?
Well, it went really well. You know, I think it's an uphill battle to take anything to the legislature. So, you know, lots and lots of bills get introduced. Only some of them actually get a hearing. So this one did. That was good. The response we got from both the senator, you know, all the senators, both Democrats and Republicans, was very positive. But whether the state wants to change the gambling laws, that is the question on the table. I think some people might be a little confused here locally, though, that somehow they think the city council's I'm going to make the final decision on this. And that's not true at all. It's totally up to the legislature. You have got a private company, publicly traded, who wants to come in and invest $150 million by buying a piece of property off somebody, no local incentives, and it all depends on whether the state will change the gambling, you know, the gaming laws or not to allow it to happen. And so I keep telling people, I'm all about the economic side of this. That's all it is. If you don't like gambling, don't gamble. But every other community that's got one loves it. Evansville and others are fighting so that we don't get one because they know they want to protect what they've got. And so when you stop and look at it, it's much more positive than anything negative. But that's all I'm going to say about it because I'm looking at it from an economic development standpoint. We would gain much more than we would lose.
So there's nothing in this that if you didn't want it, that you could say, no, this can't be built.
You can just stand
here
up and say it. You know, you go testify, and they could still decide to do it or not do it. Now, if you didn't have a lot of community support, they'd probably say, you know what, if Terre Haute doesn't want it, we're not going to do it. I get that. But everybody's here, all the local officials are supporting it because they see the economic benefits.
There's a group meeting called the Casino Free Vigo County forming against the new casino. And, you know, they want some more time for public input and meetings. Is there enough time for them to get involved and speak their opinion?
Well, I think they've been speaking their opinion pretty well. But, you know, their opinion needs to be spoken to the legislature. That's where the focus needs to be. And, you know, this bill may not pass and it may come back in the future. Who knows? I mean, I really don't know if this company will decide to approach it again. But I think everybody's voice should be heard. But that's the same process that goes on every year in the State House. That's where that happens at. You know, we had people that came to the city council meeting last week and they'll be here again this week. And that's awesome. You know, express your opinion. And I've got, you know, several voicemails and mostly voicemails because people don't want to talk directly to me about it. A couple of letters, a couple of emails. And that's great. I've got a folder that I've stored all that with. I share it with people. I tell them, here's what I'm hearing. But the majority of people are for it, but they're very quiet. That's the thing. When people are opposed to something, they're very vocal. If they're for it, they usually don't say anything. And so you have to kind of balance that out. I've got to represent everybody, not just any one group, either side of the, you know, either way.
Yeah, this is something different, too, that we've been following from the State House. There was an Airbnb Airbnb legislation that failed to pass and in the House, and it was something that some cities are looking at regulating short-term rentals. Is that an issue here in Terre Haute?
Yeah, I've not heard it being an issue here. I know it came from Carmel's where I first heard about it, and I'm sure there's some other places doing it, too. But that was my first public knowledge of that. And so, you know, I mean, I've never really delved into it much, but just my cursory thing is, I don't think that's a big problem around here, and I would guess probably not in most places.
I also saw where a state representative, Bob Heaton, here at Terre Haute, has legislation that would allow Vigo County to adopt a food and beverage tax of up to 1%. Where is that right now? Do you know?
Well, I've not heard about the hearing yet on that. I'm sure we'll know soon, but I've just not got word of that quite yet. But, you know, a lot of other communities have it. All the donut counties in Indianapolis, and you know what that goes to. It provides lots of things for people to enjoy. That's what we would do with the money here. It would go directly into our CIB. And our community board would, you know, use it for Holman Center or other projects. It would be a great tool for us to be able to build out and do some things that are you wouldn't be able to fund any other way. So I think it's just kind of the nature of the beast these days. When you go out to eat, when you go stay in a hotel, you're paying a lodging tax, you're paying a food and beverage tax. It'd be a very small amount, and it goes to a very good purpose that we just don't have any other funding to pay for.
What else am I missing?
The overpass. I can never stop talking about that enough at 19th and Margaret. You know, we've sent our money off to the state now, so our match has been paid, and just really excited to get that project underway. The utility relocation will start any day now, and just really looking forward to getting that overpass built, and then we can focus on some other areas of the city. And, you know, that's been something I've been working on for 9 years, and we're finally breaking ground on that. I couldn't be any more excited about that.
Does it help this year with the lack of snow and ice that maybe you have a little bit of extra funds there saved up?
It is. And last year was a good year for us too. So, you know, we're probably going to save over the last couple of years at least a couple of $100,000 in salt. You know, sand's pretty inexpensive, but we hadn't to buy into that either. So what that means is we're able to pave a few more roads this year probably that we didn't have to spend on salt. You know, that all comes out of our, you know, the money we get to work on our streets. And any money we don't spend on winter activities, on potholes or treatment of the roads, we can spend on paving.
We have one email question from Brian. He was curious to know what is Terre Haute's plan to move to LED lighting for all government facilities and how much money that would save the government each year.
Well, you know, I don't know if there's one set answer to that. The lights that we have are what are in our properties, obviously, and then Duke Energy owns the lighting on the streets that we pay for the electricity. We just had a meeting recently with Duke Energy, and we're talking about 3rd Street, all the way from I-70 to 63, that might be our first project, but all the poles have to be replaced. We can't just switch out to LED lighting because a lot of our poles are 30, 40 years old, and so they all have to be replaced. So we're actually looking at starting to do some segments of our community where we have wooden poles and lights. Those may happen sooner because it's only the mast and the head, but the ones that have the whole pole that have to be changed, we're going to bite this off in pieces. So we're just starting that dialogue with Duke Energy. It'd probably save us a little bit. It wouldn't be a tremendous amount, but it costs us about $5 a month per light to operate, and so it could come down a little bit.
He also wanted to know if there's any intention of trying to go solar on any of the government buildings.
You know, I don't think the technology is there quite yet. I do know that the solid waste district in the county that I'm a part of, we're operating a new facility that's getting ready to be opened up totally on solar, but it's a one-person office with one computer and one telephone, and you need some lighting. That works pretty good. I would love to explore some of that, but until, you know, we couldn't possibly do this whole building couldn't be run off of that as an example, but we might be able to do a smaller fire station. We might be able to do some of our city parks. And so we have had some discussions and had some quotes, but I don't think we're quite there yet because I don't have the money to spend up front to save in the long run. So we'll probably have to do some smaller projects first.